Hello and welcome to East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. Our first story, fugitive who fired at U.S. Marshals agents is fatally shot in Mesa. A man identified by authorities as a known gang member was shot and killed in Mesa after opening fire on federal agents who were attempting to arrest him on multiple fugitive warrants. The U.S. Marshals Service confirmed that law enforcement officers were involved in the shooting on June 27 near 32nd Street and Baseline Road. The East Valley Critical Incident Response Team was investigating the incident. The U.S. Marshals Service identified the man as Edgar Cardenas on June 29. According to the U.S. Marshals Service, Cardenas was wanted on multiple warrants, including aggravated assault involving domestic violence, disorderly conduct with a weapon, misconduct involving weapons, threats, and assault when Marshals and Mesa police officers attempted to take him into custody. Authorities had Cardenas under surveillance, and when he drove from a residence, they attempted to stop him, the Marshals said. That's when he fired multiple rounds at authorities who shot him dead. No police were injured in the incident, and the agency didn't say whether anyone else was involved. Authorities were searching for Cardenas as part of a 22-agency task force focused on apprehending fugitives across Arizona. According to the U.S. Marshals Service, the task force has captured more than 2,100 individuals over the past year, prioritizing the most violent offenders and sexual predators. That story was fugitive who fired at U.S. Marshals agents is fatally shot in Mesa. The next story, daytime lane restriction closures on U.S. 60 between Superior and Miami, June 30 to July 3. The Arizona Department of Transportation advises drivers to plan for restrictions for blasting operations as part of a bridge replacement project on U.S. Highway 60 east of Superior. Between mileposts 227 to 229, it will be reduced to one lane with alternating east and westbound travel from 5 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday, June 30, and from 5 a.m. to noon Thursday, July 3. Flaggers and a pilot car will assist drivers through the work zone. U.S. 60 between Superior and Miami, mileposts 227 to 243, will be closed from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Tuesday, July 1st and Wednesday, July 2. Flagging operations will be in effect before and after the full closures. U.S. 60 between Miami and Magma Mine Road, milepost 231 to 243, will remain open for local traffic only. There will be no closure or lane restrictions on U.S. 60 between Superior and Miami on Friday, July 4. Detour, eastbound U.S. 60 drivers, use southbound State Route 177 through Winkelman to northbound SR 77. Westbound U.S. 60 drivers use southbound SR 77 through Winkelman to northbound SR 177. Due to the roughly 75-mile length of this detour, drivers may want to consider planning travel before 9 a.m. and after 2 p.m. The detour is estimated to add an additional hour for trips between Superior and Miami. Upcoming full closures and flagging operations. U.S. 60 east of Superior will be reduced to one lane, with alternating east and westbound travel from 5 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday, July 7. Flaggers and a pilot car will assist drivers through the work zone. U.S. 60 between Superior and Miami will be closed from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Tuesday, July 8, Wednesday, July 9, and Thursday, July 10. Flagging operations will be in effect before and after the full closures. Schedules are subject to change based on weather and other unforeseen factors. Lane restrictions, speed reductions, and a 12-foot vehicle width restriction will be in place for the duration of the project. Oversized loads may be accommodated with advance notice. Drivers should allow extra travel time, use caution, be prepared to slow down, and merge safely when approaching and traveling through all work zones. For information and to sign up for email alerts, go to https://azdot.gov/projects/southeast-district-project/queen-creek-and-waterfall-canyon-bridge-projects. And that story was daytime lane restriction closures on US 60 between Superior and Miami, June 30 to July 3. Our next story. Here's why a Mesa man ran onto a Philadelphia soccer field to protest the World Cup. Mesa resident Johnny Mora was jailed after he took to a Philadelphia sports field to protest the reported mass slaughter of dogs in Morocco ahead of the country co-hosting the 2030 World Cup. Mora and another man ran onto the field during the June 18 soccer match between Moroccan club Wydad and Manchester City at Lincoln Financial Field. He said he was taken into custody by police and was held for two nights at a city jail. The 51-year-old telemarketer said he was moved to protest because of the love of his two grandchildren have for dogs. "Dogs are something that are very dear to my heart," Mora said. Mora, who owns two rescue pooches and said he has rehomed countless others, expressed outrage at reports that dogs are being shot or poisoned before Moroccan children. He pointed to a specific video he said showed a family enjoying a day at a Moroccan beach while dogs nearby convulsed and foamed at the mouth. "Not to impugn Morocco as a country or their people, but it's like they didn't bat an eye looking at these dogs next to them dying," Moore said. Witnesses reported dogs being shot dead in Morocco, CNN said. Moroccan officials have argued strays pose a serious public health risk, while the country has only advertised efforts to control the issue with a vaccination program started in 2019 as a humane alternative, according to CNN. International animal welfare organizations have decried the slaughtering of dogs in Morocco. 3 million dogs and cats are at risk, and many have already been shot, poisoned, burned alive, or left to die caged without food or water, nonprofit Virginia-based People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals said. PETA has asked soccer's world governing body, FIFA, to intervene. PETA is urging Morocco to stop the slaughter and uphold the country's commitment to treat animals humanely, said PETA Executive President Tracy Riemann in a statement. Morris said he is not a paid activist for PETA and did not receive any compensation for travel expenses. PETA, he said, did pay for the protest t-shirt he wore and the protest sign he carried as he ran onto the field. Morris said he also ran onto the State Farm Stadium field July 30, 2024 during a Copa America match featuring Mexico. "He was protesting deadly bullfighting in that country," Morris said. Law enforcement handed him a citation, but the case was never pursued in court, he added. FIFA officials met with the United Kingdom-based nonprofit European Link Coalition in 2023 about evidence of an increase in the slaughter of dogs in Morocco, according to CNN. FIFA told CNN that Morocco's soccer officials assured them upcoming legislation would balance public health concerns with the welfare of animals. "Shame on you, FIFA," Mora said. "FIFA needs to do better. FIFA needs to hold these countries accountable and ensure that they are ethical." This is not the first World Cup to find itself with troubles during preparations for sport's biggest global audience. Qatar gained notoriety for the deaths of migrant workers building that country's 2022 World Cup infrastructure. Between 400 and 500 people died in the construction of venues across the small Middle Eastern country, a tournament official told CNN. Nearly 2 years before that World Cup, The Guardian reported worker death estimates reached 6,500. The United States, Canada, and Mexico are set to host the 2026 World Cup. Mora wondered out loud what the three countries will be doing in regard to unhoused populations in host cities. He voiced concern for North American strays who may face euthanasia at a faster rate, considering the international events were happening soon, but he also saw an opportunity to save street canines and cats. I think that the United States, Canada, and Mexico can use the Moroccan example. Hopefully this brings enough international attention that the world says, hey, that's not cool. Let's explore these rehoming options, he said. That story was, here's why a Mesa man ran onto a Philadelphia soccer field to protest the World Cup. The next story, Art as Therapy Class, July 1, at Apache Junction Public Library. Join Lieutenant Colonel Barry Rosenblatt and Susan Page from Page Artists Gallery Studio to discover how art helped the military veteran recover and rewire his brain after a major stroke 15 years ago. Rosenblatt will share his story, insights into art therapy, and showcase his art at the event that begins 2 p.m. July 1st at the Apache Junction Public Library, 1177 North Idaho Road in Apache Junction. That story was Art as Therapy Class, July 1 at Apache Junction Public Library. The next story, Mesa dentist sent explicit photos to teens, prosecutors say. A Mesa dentist who promoted gentle care for anxious patients stands accused of sending nude photos to minors and receiving child sexual abuse material. Jonathan Lane Sanders faces 23 federal counts, including receiving child pornography, coercion of a minor, and transferring obscene material to a minor, according to a criminal complaint filed in federal court. Sanders has been affiliated with Kefal Dental Care in Mesa, which has a website that calls him Dr. Lane Sanders. Sanders tried to persuade 10 girls, ages 13 to 15, to engage in illegal sexual activity, sending photos and videos of his penis between October 2024 and March 2025, the indictment said. He knows dental anxiety is very real and common, but he hopes to help his patients become more comfortable at the dentist through careful and gentle care, Sanders' biography on the Kefal Dental Care website said. As of June 25, his information remained on the site. Federal charges were filed June 11. A person who answered the phone at Kefal Dental Care declined to talk about Sanders. Sanders pleaded not guilty to the charges at his June 26 arraignment, where a federal judge ruled he would remain in custody for the duration of his case. Investigators do not yet have a final count of how many minors they believe Sanders was in contact with, Prosecutor Gail Hellert said. Prosecutors allege that he sent photos of his genitals to 19 users on the social media platform Discord, according to the complaint. In the U.S., the minimum age to use Discord is 13, according to the company. An investigation started in Connecticut after one of the girls Sanders is accused of messaging became suicidal, prosecutors said in court. The mother found her daughter's messages on Discord and contacted police, the complaint said. Police investigated the Discord account that had been messaging the girl and found that it had messaged 583 other accounts, the complaint said. Of those 583 accounts, many of the users stated they were minors, the complaint said. FBI investigators identified Sanders after reviewing messages and photos that the Discord account sent and received, the complaint said. One of the photos Sanders sent showed him sitting in what looked to be a dental office, depicting a computer in the background and an x-ray of what appears to be several teeth, the complaint said. Hellert told the court that Sanders had used a smart tablet given to him at the dental office where he worked. After a breakdown in his marriage due to pornography, Sanders and his wife had agreed to set restrictions on his phone and other personal devices, the prosecutor said. But Hellert said Sanders circumvented those restrictions by using the work-issued tablet, avoiding the monitoring placed on his personal electronics. Hellert argued that Sanders posed a danger to the community if released, warning he could again circumvent monitoring. I just don't know if the threat from the court order is stronger than the threat of your marriage breaking up, Hellert said. That should be pretty strong, and it didn't work for him. Sanders' attorney did not respond to requests for comment. And that story was Mesa Dentist sent explicit photos to teens, prosecutors say. You're listening to East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today we're covering Mesa and Apache Junction, and I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. The next story, Maricopa, Pinal counties face extreme heat warning starting Sunday. Maricopa County will be under an extreme heat warning from Sunday through Tuesday. The National Weather Service issued the warning as temperatures are expected to be up to 116 degrees in parts of the county June 29 to July 1st. Pinal County will be under the warning on Monday, June 30. Health officials offer the following tips. Stay cool. Limit outdoor activity to when it's coolest, like morning and evening hours. Find the nearest heat relief site, cooling center, respite center, hydration station, for free access to air conditioning and water. Do not leave children or pets alone in a parked car. The temperature inside can rise quickly and become deadly. Drink plenty of water throughout the day. Avoid alcohol and drinks with high caffeine or sugar. Look out for signs and symptoms of heat-related illnesses, dizziness, muscle cramps, nausea, headache, and confusion. Check the weather forecast for temperature, air quality, and UV index. Learn more about today's NWS heat risk map. Check on family, friends, pets, and neighbors, especially those who are sensitive to heat, such as individuals over 65, those with chronic medical conditions, people living alone, and those who are unhoused. Share your location with friends and loved ones before taking a road trip, hiking, or camping, and use Arizona 511 for road conditions and traffic information. Limit sun exposure with sunglasses, hats, and lightweight clothing. Use SPF 30 plus sunscreen to protect skin from UV rays. That story was Maricopa, Pinal counties face extreme heat warnings starting Sunday. The next story, vintage record store in Metro Phoenix must move before the bulldozers come. Here's where. Uncle Aldo's Attic record store is closed, but not for good. It's changing locations in Mesa. Before the bulldozers come, as owner Desi Scarpone frames the situation, having taken a break from packing up the contents of its current home at 6016 East McKellips Road to talk about the move. Scarpone had hoped to keep his independent record store, whose stock and trade is used in vintage vinyl, open through the end of June. But we were in a time crunch, he says, so we're here moving everything out. A few moments ago, someone came by and wanted to come in. I'm like, I'm really sorry. We're closed. It's just a giant mess, and we're trying to get it out before the bulldozers come. The move was not Scarpone's idea. The current location, just off Wrecker Road, is in a shopping plaza that was sold to Mountain America Credit Union, a Utah-based financial institution that purchased the naming rights to Arizona State University's football stadium in 2023. All the businesses were forced to move, Scarpone says. I just happened to be the last guy here because I couldn't find anything affordable. I was just going to go out of business. But then, right at the last moment, I found a place in downtown Mesa that's not very good, but the rent is cheap. The new space is at 900 East Main Street, just off Fraser Drive. It's not a great neighborhood, Scarpone says. Downtown Mesa is being refurbished, becoming very bohemian. But there's a few miles going down Main Street that's a little sketchy. I've already been offered stolen goods several times in the last few days. The police are there quite a bit. So I'm hoping it'll become a great place, but just being cautious. You know, you get the lower rent, you're in a place that's not as great as it could be. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure everyone will be wonderful and friendly, and I won't have too many robberies. The rent on the new location is $1 per square foot, the same rate he'd been paying on McKellips Road, but the space is three times larger. So even though it's cheap, he says, it's three times more expensive. I'm a little nervous, but we'll give it a shot. The perils of a business owner, I guess. To say Scarpone isn't happy with Mountain America Credit Union would be an understatement. "We obviously have no legs to stand on," he said. "We got the last month free is what they gave us. Woohoo! Right before the bulldozers came." If it was a Jack in the Box or a Taco Bell forcing his business to move, he'd get it, Scarpone says. Whoever's behind all this big money of this credit union, they're convinced they're helping the community. They're going to make things great for so many people. And I'm like, well, what about us? We're people too, you know. We're business owners. I've been here almost 10 years. Scarpone also isn't happy that his former landlord sold the plaza. He said some of the businesses have been there for 30 years. But no, it was all about profit. So we're not real pleased with them either. You know, they bought it cheap. They sold it high. That's the American way. One thing that won't be a problem for Scarpone is filling all that extra space in his new location with inventory. "I have like 50,000 records at home and a storage unit full of records and other stuff," he said. "So even now, in the middle of getting it all put together and trying to get out here, I'm already kind of at the limit because I'm adding more 45s. I have billions of 45s. We've added comic books, which we used to have here, but we ran out of room. We're making the cassette area bigger, making the 8-track area bigger. Books, there's a toy section." He said he has done his best to make the store feel less cramped. "The criticism has been it's so tight that it's tough to get around," he says. "I understand that. So here, I'm trying to make it a little bit wider, where you can go down the aisles with ease and find what you're looking for." The store is named for Scarpone's Uncle Aldo, a big collector. "He's the one that kind of got me into collecting when I was a kid," Scarpone says. "So we just decided to name it Uncle Aldo's Attic in honor of him." When Scarpone opened Uncle Aldo's Attic, the focus was more on collectibles, with vinyl accounting for maybe 10% of his stock. And it just happened to be that after a couple of years, it became apparent that records were the big seller, Scarpone says. "So I reversed the formula, made it 90% records and 10% toys, and it blew up. I was very lucky. So now I'm the record guy." He said it's been amazing to watch the record business take off. "We have buyers that come from Japan and the UK, from different countries, different states," he says. "They might have stores and buy from you for their stores. Many times they're looking for stuff they can't get, like rare jazz, rare funk, and soul or psychedelic, things like that. It's kind of cool to see them come here to my little crappy shop to get things. I have eclectic tastes, so that's the kind of music I buy. And I'm lucky that there are other people that are as weird as me, and they like that stuff too." Scarpone hopes to have the new location up and running by mid-July. The Uncle Aldo's Attic Facebook page has seen an outpouring of support, so I feel good about that, Scarpone says. "I'm looking forward to putting this unpleasantness behind us and moving forward to a new location and a new future." That story was Vintage Record Store in Metro Phoenix Must Move Before the Bulldozers Come. Here's where. The next story, back to school event in July for Apache Junction students. A free back to school event for all Apache Junction students will be held in July, and the first 500 students will get a free cinch bag full of essential school supplies. The event, presented by Stand Up AJ, will be hosted by Apache Junction Unified School District and the Apache Junction High School, and will be held 9 a.m. to noon Saturday, July 12, at AJHS North Gym, 2525 South Ironwood Drive. Stand Up AJ was formed in 2020 and replaced a drug prevention coalition that started serving Apache Junction in 2008 and dissolved. Volunteers include Apache Junction community members, law enforcement officials, educators, and National Guard Counter Drug Task Force representatives. For information on Stand Up AJ, go to Facebook at Stand Up UP Apache JCT and https://www.standupaj.org. That story was Back to School Event in July for Apache Junction Students. The next story, TikTok creator sentenced for spraying pesticide on food at Mesa Walmart. A TikTok creator has been sentenced after he uploaded a video where he spritzed pesticide on produce and meat at a Mesa Walmart. Charles Smith, who goes by Wolfie Coletti online, was sentenced June 24 to a year in prison for one count of adding poison or another harmful substance, with jail credit for 136 days served, according to court documents. Smith received 3 years probation for criminal damage and solicitation to commit burglary to run concurrently, court documents said. The conviction came after an April 22 guilty plea for the December 19 incident, in which the then 27-year-old filmed himself committing the crime at the Walmart located at Stapley and Baseline Roads before sharing the video on his TikTok and Instagram accounts. Smith entered the store, grabbed a can of Hot Shot Ultra Bedbug and Flea Killer off a shelf, and sprayed a large number of yams, lemons, other produce, and rotisserie chicken, according to charging documents. He eventually deleted the video and insisted in the captions of two follow-up videos that he discarded the contaminated food, the Arizona Republic reported at the time. Charging documents said the video showed him returning to the store 10 minutes after the spraying and placing the contaminated items in a shopping cart he pushed to an undisclosed part of the store. Walmart removed remaining items worth $931, court documents said. Following an investigation, Mesa police identified Smith as a suspect and contacted him. He then admitted to the theft and the pesticide spraying, the department said at the time. Shortly after turning himself in to police 2 days after the incident, Smith told the Republic that the food was thrown away right after and that no one was poisoned. The time between when the defendant sprayed the items to when he placed them into the cart left plenty of time for customers to take the contaminated items and purchase them, court documents said. That story was TikTok creator sentenced for spraying pesticide on food at Mesa Walmart. Remember that if you missed a program, you can get it on demand at sunsense.org/broadcastinfo and audio/on-demand. You can also take SunSounds with you. You can get our stream and on demand on the SunSounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. And you can hear SunSounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. This has been East Valley News covering Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. Stay tuned for more excellent content on SunSounds of Arizona.